أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Lesson number 56, Surah An-Nisa. Now the topic is going to change slightly.
Ayah number 22.
وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. And do not marry those women whom your fathers married, except what has already occurred. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Indeed, it was an immorality and hateful to Allah, and was evil as a way. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ. Over here again, the believers are being prohibited from marrying particular women. Earlier we read that لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُ النِّسَاءِ. It is not permissible for you to inherit the nikah with a woman. Now we learn that it's not permissible for you to marry who? Those women whom your father has married. لا تنكحوا. ما نكح, that which he married. ما over here gives the meaning of من, the one whom. Meaning the women whom your fathers have married. So, who is this woman? A stepmother. So a man is not allowed to marry his stepmother. ما نكح آباؤكم من النساء. And the word آباء is the plural of أب, and آباء includes one's father. It also includes one's grandfather, paternal and maternal, however upwards. It includes a person's father and grandfather, paternal and maternal, however upwards. So a person is not allowed to marry his stepmother or his step-grandmother. مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ, except that which has already happened. سَلَفَ is from the root letter سِين لَامْفَ. سَلَفَ is that which is over, that which happened in the past, that which is bygone. So مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ, that which has already happened. What does it mean by this? إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ, meaning whatever has happened in the past has happened. If a man did marry his stepmother in the past, he cannot change that situation now. For instance, if a man married a woman in the past who was his stepmother and they had children together, what is he supposed to do? Kill those children? No. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ, whatever has happened in the past has passed, meaning you are not blameworthy for what happened in the past. Because as we learned earlier in the ayat of Tawbah, that the one who does su out of jahala, out of ignorance, and ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. So if this happened in the past out of ignorance, you're not blameworthy, you're not sinful for that. However, we do know that all of such marriages which existed at the time of the revelation of this ayah, all of those marriages were annulled. They were finished. Like for instance, if a man had married his stepmother or his step-grandmother after the revelation of this ayah, that marriage with that woman was annulled. It was nullified by the law. So, إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, what does it mean? That whatever has happened, now keep the marriage? Is that what the meaning is? No. It doesn't mean keep the marriage. It means that you're not sinful for what happened in the past. Why? Because you didn't know. So why should you not marry your stepmother, the woman whom your father married? Because إِنَّهُ, indeed it, marrying your father's wife, it is كَانَ فَاحِشَةً, it is an act of indecency. It is an act of indecency. It is an extreme fahisha. Because you see, the wife of your father is like a mother to you. Right? The wife of your father is like a mother to you. Even if she is a stepmother. And to establish sexual relations with her, this is like zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً, this is like zina. It's worse than zina. It's a violation of the honor and respect of that woman. So إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا, and something that is hateful. The word مَقْتًا is from the root letters ميم قَافْتَ, and مَقْت is to have hatred, extreme detestation for someone, Why? Upon seeing them committing a wrong action. Upon seeing them doing something wrong. You know, sometimes you have a very good image of someone, but then you see them doing something that is very nasty, what happens? You develop this hatred for them. Why? Because you saw them doing something wrong. So maqt is extreme hatred, extreme detestation for someone. Why? Upon seeing them do something wrong. So this act of marrying a stepmother, it is maqt. Maqt from who? First of all, maqt min Allah. Meaning, this is an act that is very offensive, and it is a cause of maqt, cause of earning anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if a person does this, he deserves the anger of Allah. He deserves the hatred of Allah. Allah hates such a person. And secondly, it has been said that maqtan, that this is a maqt, meaning this causes hate, this causes maqt from who? From the father, or from the son. For instance, if a man marries the wife of his father, his stepmother, what kind of feelings is the son going to have for his father? What kind of feelings? Are they good feelings? Not necessarily. Because see, sometimes if there is a divorce between a couple and the second husband of the woman, what kind of feelings does he have for the previous husband? Dislike. That he treated you so bad, he divorced you. He was so harsh towards you, he divorced you. So he dislikes him. Similarly, who dislikes the second husband? The first husband. So this is going to create maqt between who? Father and son. It brings extreme hatred and anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, it also creates maqt between father and son. And thirdly, it has been said that وَمَقْتًا, this is something that is maqt, meaning this nikah is nikah maqt. This nikah is such that deserves maqt from people. You know, sometimes two people get married and others completely disapprove of that marriage. They completely disapprove of it. So this is a marriage that is worthy of disapproval, worthy of hatred. This is maqtan. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and it is an evil way. Evil way of what? Evil way of fulfilling sexual desire. Evil way of having children. Now just imagine the children that are born out of this relationship. What are they going to say? That my father is also my ex-step brother and my mother is also my grandmother. So just imagine, this is sa'a sabila, this is something that is evil. This is something that is gross. Which is why it has been said that marrying the father's ex-wife, whether divorcee or widow, it is worse than zina. It is worse than zina. Why? Because you see, for zina, we learn in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 32, that لا تقربوا الزنا, don't even approach zina. Why? Because إِنَّهَا كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It is an act of fahisha and sa'a sabila, an evil way of fulfilling desire, an evil way of having children. But you see over here, what else has been said besides fahisha and sa'a sabila? Maqtan. What does this show? That this act is worse than zina. This act is worse than zina. You can legalize it by having a marriage contract, but first of all, that marriage contract is not valid. And secondly, it is worse than zina. So what do we learn from this ayah? The prohibition of marrying one's stepmother. And also one's own mother. Because ما نكح آباؤكم includes your own mother. So we learn about the prohibition of marrying one's mother, or the wife of one's father, or the wife of one's grandfather, maternal or paternal. And we learn that Imam Ahmad, he recorded in his Sunan that Al-Bara ibn Azib, he said that his uncle Abu Burda, he was sent by the Prophet ﷺ to a man who married his stepmother. A man married his stepmother while being a Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ sent Al-Bara ibn Azib's uncle Abu Burda in order to execute that man and confiscate his property. Because such a person, what is he committing? Maqtan. An act that deserves maqt min Allah and also from the people. Also we learn about the prohibition of marrying one's father and grandfather for a woman. Because obviously, if for a man, marrying his mother or stepmother or stepgrandmother is forbidden, similarly for a woman, marrying her father or marrying her stepfather or marrying her grandfather, all of this is forbidden. And if such a marriage contract does occur, is it going to be valid? It's not going to be valid. And if it did occur in the past out of ignorance, is it going to remain valid? No. Can you say that إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ? I mean, this has happened already, so don't worry about it. No. The marriage is going to be annulled. And this also shows to us that whatever has happened in the past is over. Something that was done out of ignorance is done. You cannot go change it. You cannot go alter the past, the history. So therefore, close the chapter now. Do islah and close whatever happened in the past. Because as we learn the many commands in the surah and in the Quran, what happens? We think about, oh, but this happened in that situation. So-and-so did that. I know of so-and-so who did that. So instead of, you know, digging out the past and talking about the past and staying stuck over there, what does Allah say? Whatever has happened in the past has happened. You're not blameworthy for that. But from now on, fix a problem. Fix your situation and don't repeat this action again. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Prohibited to you for marriage are who? أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Your mothers. حُرِّمَتْ from the word تَحْرِيم. حَرَام. What does حَرَام mean? Forbidden. تَحْرِيم is to make something unlawful. So حُرِّمَتْ meaning حَرَام for you to marry. عَلَيْكُمْ upon you, meaning O you Muslim men, are who? أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Your mothers. In this ayah, and in the following ayah, we will learn about those women who are forbidden for a man to marry. Meaning a man is not allowed to marry them. A man is not allowed to marry them. And remember, there are some women whom a man is never allowed to marry. There are other women whom he is temporarily not allowed to marry. So in this ayah, both are mentioned. The first category is of those women who are muharramat bin nasab, who are forbidden. Why? Because of nasab, because of lineage. Meaning you are related to them through lineage. So who falls in this category first? Ummahat. Ummahat is the plural of or it is the plural of ummaha. Ummahatun. With ta marbuta at the end. Ummahatun. And and ummaha, or ummat, or ummahat, who are they? Mothers. Biological mothers. And generally, the word ummahat is used for the aqil, like human beings. And ummat is used for ghayr aqil, like in animals. So, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Who are the ummahat? Who are the ummahat? The mothers, they include, first of all, the biological mother. Biological mother. Secondly, ummahat includes both paternal and maternal grandmothers, however upwards. Paternal and maternal grandmothers, however upwards. What does it mean? That your father's mother and your mother's mother, however upwards, in ascendancy. And thirdly, ummahat also includes stepmother, as we learned in the previous ayah. Who is a stepmother? Your father's wife. So, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Secondly, وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, and your daughters. Banat is a plural of bint. And who is a bint? Daughter. So, who are included in the daughters? First of all, one's biological daughter. Through nikah or without nikah. What does it mean? That a daughter born through marriage, meaning through your wife, or even a bintu zina, a daughter of a man through zina, meaning he had sexual relations with a woman whom he was not married to, and he ended up having a daughter with her. So that daughter also is forbidden for the man. He cannot say, oh, there was no nikah between me and her mother, so therefore I can marry her. No. Biological daughter, whether through nikah or outside of nikah. Secondly, banat includes granddaughters, through sons as well as through daughters. So your son's daughters as well as your daughter's daughters. Again, however downwards. You understand? However downwards. Like your son's daughter and your son's son's daughter and your son's 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 daughter. However downwards. Meaning in your grandchildren. Whatever girls you have, you're not allowed to marry them. And thirdly, banat also includes stepdaughter. Who is a stepdaughter? Rabiba, which inshallah we will learn about. The wife's daughter. The wife's daughter. Then, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ who else? وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ and your sisters. أَخَوَات is a plural of أُخْت. And who is an أُخْت? Sister. And the sisters, who do they include? First of all, full sisters. What does it mean by that? That you share the same mother and father. You share the same mother and father. Secondly, akhawat includes half-sisters. What does it mean by that? Half-sister. That you share only the father and not the mother. Or you share only the mother and not the father. Alright? You understand? Everybody? Who is a half-sister? Someone with whom you share only one parent. Someone with whom you share only one parent. وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ And akhawat also includes sisters through رَضَعَ, through suckling. What does it mean? That you and another girl were breastfed by the same woman. You and that girl are not related, but you were breastfed by the same woman, therefore you become like sisters. So وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ And your father's sisters, meaning your paternal aunts. عَمَّات is a plural of عَمَّة. And عَمَّة is from the root letters عَيْن مِيم مِيم. And عَمَّة is used for paternal aunt, meaning father's sister. So who does عَمَّات include? First of all, real aunts. Real aunts. Who does that include? The sisters of your father, and also the sisters of your paternal grandfather. Because remember, ammat is from your father's side. So you're talking about your father's sister, and your abba also includes who else? Grandfather. So your paternal grandfather's sister. However upwards, ammat. وَخَالَاتُكُمْ And your mother's sisters. خَالَات is a plural of خَالَة. And who is a خَالَة? Maternal aunt. What does that mean? Your mother's sister. And again, khalat includes your real aunts. What does that mean? That the sisters of your mother, sisters of your mother, or who else? The sisters of your grandmother. Which grandmother? Maternal. However upwards. وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخْ And the daughters of the brothers, meaning your nieces. بَنَاتُ الْأَخْ Banat is a plural of bint. And banat al-akh includes the daughters of your brother, and it also includes the granddaughters of your brother, however downwards. Real or half. Wabanat al-akh. Wabanat al-ukht. And the daughters of the sisters. Meaning, your nieces from your sister. And again, banat al-ukht includes your sister's daughters as well as your sister's granddaughters, however downwards, real or half, full or half. وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ And your mothers. Now, up until now, seven types of women were mentioned. And these seven, who are they? Who are they? مُحَرَّمَات بِن نَسَب Meaning those women who are forbidden to you. Why? Because of nasab, because of the lineage. Mother, daughter, sister, khala, amma, similarly, niece. All of these are what? same lineage. Therefore, they are forbidden. Now the second category is of those women who are muharramat through rada'a. What does that mean? What does rada'a mean? Suckling, nursing, breastfeeding. So wa ummahatukum, and your mothers, allati, those who arda'nakum, they suckled you. Arda'na from ra, dad, ayn. So those women who have suckled you, they are also like your mothers. So foster mothers, they are also forbidden for you to marry, even though you are not related otherwise. Wa akhawatukum min ar-rida', and also your sisters from rida'. What does it mean by this? Akhawat, again, is a plural of ukht. So akhawatukum min ar-rida', who are they? Foster sisters. Who do they include? First of all, the daughters of the wet nurse. The daughters of the wet nurse. And secondly, those women who were nursed by the same wet nurse as you. Those women who were nursed by the same wet nurse as you. وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعِ. Remember that over here, only the foster mothers and foster sisters are mentioned. Through rada'a, only the foster mothers and foster sisters are mentioned. However, we learn that all of the other relations, which other? The seven categories that were mentioned above. The same applies also through rada'a. Right? The same applies also through rada'a. So seven through nasab and also seven through rada'a. Then the third category is of muharramat through sihr. And what does that mean? Through marriage. Wa ummahat, and mothers. Which mothers? Nisa'ikum, of your women. Meaning the mothers of your wives. Who are they? The mothers-in-law. And remember that a mother-in-law is haram forever. Haram forever. What does it mean? That even if her daughter is not married to you anymore, still she is haram for you. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ وَرَبَائِبُكُمْ, and your daughters. Which daughters? Meaning your stepdaughters. Which ones? اللاتي في حجوركم, those who are in your laps. رَبَائِب is a plural of رَبِيبَ. It is a plural of رَبِيبَ. And رَبِيبَ is from the root letters رَبَابَ and رِبَابَ or رَب. Who is رَب? One who is a lord, and one who does tarbiyah as well. It is said that rab and tarbiyah, although tarbiyah is from raba well, and rab is from raba ba, they share the same meaning. And raba'ib are the stepdaughters of a man. Who are they? The daughters of your wife. From who? From another husband. And they're called raba'ib. Why? Because usually they're brought up by who? By who? By the stepfather. So رَبَائِبُكُمْ, your stepdaughters, allati, those who fi حُجُورِكُمْ, in your laps. حُجُور is a plural of حَجَر or حِجِر, and حِجِر is lap. And this symbolizes guardianship. It symbolizes guardianship, care. So those stepdaughters who are in your care, does it mean that if your wife has a daughter who is not in your care, you can marry her? No. اللاتي في حجوركم, this is just descriptive. It does not put a condition. It's not conditional, but rather it is just descriptive. So وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم, so the stepdaughters, meaning the daughters of your wife from previous husband, they are also not allowed for you to marry. Which daughters of your wife? Those wives اللاتي دخلتم بهن, those women whom you entered with. دخلتم is from دخل, and دخلتم بهن, what does it mean? This is figurative for having sexual relations with them. So in other words, which stepdaughters are forbidden? The daughters of the woman whom you have had sexual relations with. What does this mean? That if a man got married to a woman who has daughters from before, and only the nikah took place, the consummation of marriage did not take place. Let's say the nikah was done over the phone, but after some time It ends up in a divorce. The marriage was never consummated. Now by chance, after a few years, what happens? The man is interested in the daughter of that woman. Is he allowed to marry them? Yes. Why? Because there is a condition of the wife that allati dakhaltum bihinna, only those wives whom you have entered with, meaning those wives whom you have consummated the marriage with. So what does it mean? That if the marriage was not consummated, then you are allowed to marry her daughter, because you never consummated the marriage with the mother. Now I know this is a very rare case. Maybe you've never even heard of it. It's difficult to even imagine this. But law is law, and in law this is permissible. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُونُوا دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ Then if you did not enter with them, meaning if you only did nikah with those women and you did not consummate the marriage, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ Then there is no sin upon you in marrying who? In marrying the daughter of that woman. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمْ And the wives of your sons. The wives of your sons. They are also forbidden for you to marry. Halail is a plural of halila. It is a plural of halila. And halila, as you know, is from the root letters halam lam. What does halal mean? Permissible. So halila is the wife of the son. Who is the halila? The wife of the son. And why is she called halila? Because halal, as you know, it means permissible, but it also means to untie, to open, to descend. So the wife of the son, where does she live? Where does she descend? Where? The same place as your son lives. Right? So, وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمْ And the wives of your sons. Who does this refer to? The daughters-in-law. Meaning, a man can also not marry his daughter-in-law. However, we do learn that a man can marry the divorced or widow of an adopted son. The divorced wife or the widow of who? An adopted son. Who is an adopted son? There is no nasab. There is no radara. You've just adopted them. Like we learn in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 4, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ And he has not made your adopted sons your true sons. They're not like your true sons. So therefore, a man is allowed to marry the divorced woman or the widow of his adopted son. So وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمْ Which abna الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ Those who are from your aslab. Aslab is a plural of sulb. Aslab is a plural of sulb. And sulb is used for the backbone, the spinal columns. And basically, aslab, it's translated as loin, and loin is the pubic region or the organs of reproduction. And from this, aslab is used figuratively for your biological son. Figuratively. So, الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ What does it mean? That those sons of yours who are your biological sons, who are born from your organs of reproduction, meaning they are actually your biological sons, your own procreation. So, your adopted son, his divorced wife or widow, you can marry. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ And that you collect, you gather together, you join between who? أُخْتَيْن, two sisters. Meaning this is also forbidden upon you. What? That you have two sisters in marriage together at a time. A man cannot have two sisters as his wives at a time. He can marry one, and if by chance there is divorce or the wife dies, then he can marry her sister. But at the same time, jamr, at the same time, that is not permissible. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ And these أُخْتَيْن, these two sisters, could be real sisters, full sisters, they could be half sisters, they can also be sisters through رَضَعَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ Except for that which has already happened. What does it mean? That whatever happened in the past has happened, you're not blameworthy for that. However, if there is a nikah that is with the muharramat, is that going to be valid? No, it is going to be annulled. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So what do we learn from this ayah? That certain women, they are prohibited for a man to marry. Which women are they? They are first of all through nasab, secondly through rada'a, and thirdly through sihr, through marriage. Not all the women, but some of them. And which ones are they? The ones who are mentioned over here. And with regards to rada'a, with regards to suckling, we learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim that inna rada'ata tuharrimu ma tuharrimu al-wilada. Suckling prohibits that what birth prohibits. So just as the daughter of your sister is prohibited for you to marry, similarly the daughter of your sister through rada'a is forbidden for you to marry. Just as your own niece is forbidden for you to marry, similarly your niece through rada'a is also forbidden. So, 7 women through nasab and 7 women through rada'a. 7 categories through nasab and 7 through rada'a. Now the question is, what is rada'a? What is suckling? Does it mean that just a woman randomly breastfeeds another child just once for like a minute or two and that's it? Rada'a has been established? No. There is a difference of opinion with regards to this. However, the most strongest one seems to be the one of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, in which we learn that in Sahih Muslim, it is recorded that Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she said that among the parts of the Quran that were revealed before is a statement that 10 incidents of suckling establishes the prohibition concerning marriage. So from it, what do we learn? That there was an ayah that was revealed before that was abrogated later on, meaning in text. And what was that? That 10 incidents of suckling. 10 incidents, not just one, but how many? 10. And this was abrogated later with how many? 5. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died while this statement was still recited as part of the Quran. So basically, initially it was 10 and later on it was 5. So from the hadith in Sahih Muslim, what do we learn? How many incidents of suckling? 5. And also we must remember that this has to be in the period of suckling. Meaning the child is under the age of 2. And he is breastfed at least 5 times. And he is breastfed to his full, meaning he has taken a full feeding at least 5 times. That is what establishes rada'a. Some say that this can also be established after the age of 2. This can also be established after the age of 2. Because we learned that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when the command concerning hijab was revealed, there were some families in which there were adopted sons. And these adopted sons, they weren't breastfed. Now all of a sudden, the command of hijab has come. Now just imagine what's going to happen. Just imagine, the woman is living in the same house with her adopted sons. Is she going to be walking around with hijab? Are those children going to be turned out of the house? What's going to happen? It's going to create a big problem. So in that situation, what was done was that those boys, although they were adults, some of the women, they expressed some milk out and they gave the milk to the boys. Why? So that rada'a could be established. Other scholars say that this cannot be done today because that was only an exceptional case at that time. It was only an exceptional case at that time, and the Prophet ﷺ allowed that in that situation. So we cannot apply it today. So what do we learn then? What's a summary? That rada'a is established after how many sucklings? Minimum of 5. And when? At which age? Before the age of 2. And they have to be full feedings. And also we learn in this ayah that a man cannot have 2 sisters as his wives at the same time. From the hadith we also learned that an aunt and a niece also cannot be married at the same time by the same man. An aunt and a niece. So for example, a girl and her khala, or a girl and her amma, her maternal aunt or a paternal aunt. Both of them, they cannot be the wives of a man at the same time. Why? Because this leads to, what does it lead to? Problems. Between who? Between the sisters. Between the aunt and the niece. And it could sever relations between the two of them. Because you see, 2 women who are married to the same man, you know, they can try to get along together, but they can never have a perfect relationship. Alright? They can never have a perfect relationship. So if two sisters are together, imagine the fights, imagine the arguments, imagine the animosity they would have for one another. So this would lead to severing relationships. This is why this is not permissible. What else do we learn from this ayah? Basically, the milk of the mother is to be given to the child, whether it is given directly from the breast or it is expressed and given to the child. It's the same thing. Also, we learn that if a man has married a muharrama, meaning a woman whom he is forbidden to marry. Which women are they? The ones that are mentioned in this ayah. So imagine if a man has married and then he finds out about this. What's going to happen? That marriage is going to be nullified, which means that he will have to divorce the wife. As we learn from a hadith, in which we learn that Fayroz al-Daylami, he said that I became a Muslim and I had two sisters at a time in marriage. So I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I informed him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, طَلِّقْ إِحْدَاهُمَا, divorce one of them. Divorce one of them. Understand? So if a man has married a muharrama, whether it is the sister of his wife or it is the mother or it is the aunt or whatever, then what does he have to do? He has to divorce. And if he doesn't, what did we learn? Had has to be implemented. And what was that had? That man was executed. This is something forbidden. This is something haram. It is sa'a sabila. It is maqtan. And the kids, what happens to them? Ma salaf. Again, this is whatever has happened before. They were born out of the tie of marriage. Obviously, it would create a big problem. Obviously, the fuqaha will have to get together and see what can be done. And what if a woman is not sure as to how many times she breastfed the child? She has to take a guess, at least. And she has to consider the minimum that she breastfed, meaning if she remembers only one or two occasions, only one or two, then it's not radaa. But if she remembers that every other week or every other day she was also breastfeeding the child, so what does that mean? It's radaa. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ وَخَالَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِ وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ وأمهات نسائكم وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم من نسائكم اللاتي دخلتم بهن فإن لم تكونوا دخلتم بهن فلا جناح عليكم وحلائل أبنائكم الذين من أصلابكم وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف إن الله كان غفورا رحيما.